Yo! Oh man, technical difficulties to start it out. Welcome to Simply Bitcoin. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, color breaking news, culture, pneumatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Wow. I was so excited. I was clicking the button, ready to start Opti. And
dude, you disappeared. Like, you weren't even in the studio and it started. I'm like, okay, what's going on?
Oh man, but this is why you're here. My awesome co-host. How you doing, Opti? How you feeling this morning?
I am doing good. I was just telling everyone the space. I am jacked up on coffee, so you know I'm feeling good. I'm excited for today's show.
What would Opti do without coffee?
Dude, I don't know. Honestly, I used to not be addicted to coffee. This is a new thing for me, and I think I'm going to blame the Simply Bitcoin family because I need to be high energy for the show every single day. You know, I got to be aware when I wake up early in the morning, prepare for the Twitter account. So, you know, this is my life now, guys. I do this for you. I suffer for you guys.
Oh, man. Opti's on the mission. Are you on the mission? That's the question. Okay. So today, guys, we have an awesome show. We're going to talk about Barry Silbert. Barry Silbert, for anyone that doesn't know, is the CEO of the Digital Currency Group. They own a ton of companies. They also have a huge amount of Bitcoin under management. And he's in trouble. He's under fire. If you guys have heard of GBTC, that whole debacle that's been going on, this is the man behind it. So we're going to talk about a lot. We're going to dive deep. We're going to see what's going on. Looks like there's an investigation. Looks like the Winklevi are freaking out as well. So we're going to get into all the details of that. Of course, we bring the receipts. And we have a very special video that I want Opti to react to, and I saw it this morning. Opti's ex-girlfriend Christine Lagarde's in it, so it's gonna be interesting. Opti, what do we have during the culture, my friend?
Well, we're gonna do a little mini tribute to Hal Finney. Today is the 14th anniversary to the very famous and legendary tweet on Twitter of running Bitcoin. So we're going to show some love on that front and maybe, you know, make people more aware of who Hal Finney is. So, a very special one today, in my opinion.
100%. Are you covering? I have a feeling I know why you're covering Hal Finney. It's because of the tweet, right?
It's because of the tweet.
Awesome. Oh, man, I'm so excited for today's show. And Opti, that's a really, really good choice, my friend, because I think it's really, really important to talk about that legend. Anyways, everybody, let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin Numbers,
brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, everybody, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 17,320 sats per dollar, 5,774. The block height, 771,309. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 15,039. Blocks to the halving, 68,691. The halving estimate, April 25th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,185 Bitcoin. Capacity value, $89 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.76%. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $333 billion. With the B in the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is this tiny little baby. Anyways, Opti, we have a lot to talk about. Here is Harari, which wrote this very famous book, Homo. Oh my God,
Sapiens, right?
Yeah.
The book's called Sapiens.
There we go.
Some other books.
Yeah. So Harari, World Economic Forum type of setting, and he's talking about money. And sitting across from him is the convicted felon. That's actually true. The head of the European Central Bank, which was the head of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, which is absolutely crazy. There's a convicted felon. That's the head of the European Central Bank. And she is the one that, you know, is talking crap about talking crap about Bitcoin. It's called Homo Deus, by the way. So that's his second book. The first one is Sapiens, and then the second one that Harari wrote was Homo Deus. So just to clarify that. Anyways, let's check out this clip. I think it's very revealing on a lot of things. Bear with it, because it's about 2 minutes, but it says a lot. In the beginning, it might not seem like it, but it does. It eventually does. Anyways, let's check out the clip, and then Opti and I will talk about it.
Well, I would say that the biggest story of all out there, as I just said, is economic growth. And I do think there is a lot of reason to doubt this idea that the number one value of countries and of societies should be economic growth. But I think it's unlikely that we will be able to change the story quickly enough. We need to work with that story, not against it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is possible to make people realize that you can make people's lives better, not necessarily by providing more stuff. But it's going to be a very hard sell. We can definitely make that effort. Similarly, one other important stories concern, as we mentioned earlier, money and the nature of money. And there are many attempts to create new kinds of money today. Again, whether it succeeds or not, I don't know. But what I can say is that any understanding of money should start with realizing that money is made of trust. So I don't know what will be the money in 50 years, but it will be made of trust, not of distrust. If people are thinking of new kinds of money which are based on distrusting institutions or distrusting governments, it's going against thousands of years of history. What is important to think about is what happens to things like taxation systems if more and more of the transactions, of the economic transactions in the world, don't involve money. What happens if more and more transactions are based on exchanging information and data rather than just dollars and euros and yens? So what happens to the taxation system? Should we start taxing information and not taxing money? I don't know. But I do think we need to take seriously the possibility that the nature of money is going to change quite dramatically in the coming 50 years or so.
Dude, fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So much to break down there. First, you talked about economic growth. About societies potentially not being in consumption. Well, that's what Bitcoiners are advocating for, right? Remember, like, why are people spending the way they are? Because they're incentivized to, because the money is constantly losing value, right? But what happens when all of a sudden you are saving or you're on a Bitcoin standard? You're on that deflationary mindset, meaning your purchasing power increases over time, meaning you're incentivized not to spend, but to save. Very fascinating that he picked that up. One of the interesting things, right, when he started mentioning the nature of money, Opti, was you saw your ex-girlfriend, Christine Lagarde, look backwards. Like, she was worried. She was looking back. She's like, what is going on there? But I think he hits the nail on the head. But I think that he can't fully grasp how radically different things are going to be, because he says it. We can't have things that, you know, attack the trust in society in institutions. I would like to make the argument that it's the trust in institutions that we are where we are today. Think about what those institutions have done, right? Like, think about what the state has been able to do with having a monopoly on the creation of money. They've been able to use that privilege to fund endless wars, to fund social programs that you might not necessarily agree with, and you are the expense. Keep in mind the $1.7 trillion omnibus bill, right? Also, the around 60% of the Pentagon budget is just gone missing, right? But then they expect you to They expect to, they're okay with you being surveilled for every $600 or more Venmo and PayPal transaction, right? So I would like to make the argument that against what Harari's saying is that I think the trust in institutions is the problem. I think that if you remove the element of trust in money, I think it would be a good thing. And the only way that you're able to do that is if you have a system that is fully decentralized and it has rules without rulers, and those rules can't be changed, right? We know Bitcoin's monetary policy for the next 100-something years, that can't change, or it's very, very extremely different. You have to convince the node operators, right? The 16,000, 17,000 plus of the known nodes, right? There's a lot of nodes that are connecting to the Bitcoin network through Tor. You're gonna have to convince them. On an individual level, look at how Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV end up. That's very hard, right? So, and what he's saying is going against thousands of years of history, like as if that's a bad thing, right? Like humanity, you know, has gone through a lot of these paradigm shifts in the past, right? The printing press was a famous one. Also, the gunpowder revolution, right? There's been so many paradigm shifts in human history because of technology, right? Eventually we went through the separation of church and state because the church became so corrupted because of so much power, right? I think right now we're in a moment in history where we're living through the separation of money and state. And I think that for the average person, for the average individual, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a net positive as much as, you know, as much as some individuals, or at least the central bankers, to put it nicely, would like you to believe it's not. So anyways, this is my two sats. I wanted to show you guys that clip because I thought it was fascinating. Opti, you got some thoughts? I know you write down the notes. I'm starting to do it too. It's awesome.
Well, you know, giving my trade secrets. I have a bad memory, guys. Forgive me. But first and foremost, yeah, I'm not a fan of Yuval, and I'd push back a little bit on your statement of, I think he knows exactly what he's saying. He's been known to say that humans are programmable. So in my opinion, this is him just like priming the masses and saying what he wants people to believe. Obviously, it's back to this whole idea of trust the experts, and he's the authority. And so, you know, you peasant out there, you don't know what to believe. I can tell you what to believe. I will program your mind. That's a whole nother story. To his statement, though, of him not knowing what money will be in 50 years, I do. It will be Bitcoin. And but I really do like the idea, you know, touching on the idea that he touched about. Like, I think we've all understood the basic premise that our money is based on trust. And right now that trust has been abused. And this is why Bitcoin was created in the first place. Like Brady said it in the chat right here, which we pulled up a few times. It's like, because Bitcoin does not require trust, it actually engenders trust. And this is why I'm a Bitcoiner. You know, Bitcoin is my money because I don't have to trust anyone. I don't have to trust central bankers to, you know, make the right moves on the monetary policy. I just trust math. My money is pure information. And that little quote of him saying, like, taxing information, like, for fuck's sakes, like, what kind of dystopian world does Yuval want us to live in? This guy is absolutely so detached from reality that it's mind-blowing. Like I've said in the past, these people are anti-human, and I am going to double down on this. Like Yuval, even though he has this book called Sapiens where he explains the true nature of humans, dude, he, in my opinion, there's a sinister theme that he just doesn't like humans, you know? So like, this is me, you know, projecting and speculating. But there is a point that he said that I agree with. The nature of money has changed, and it is changing because of this very reason. We no longer have to trust humans to control the monetary supply. Satoshi has unleashed us now, and we just have to trust in math. You know, run the software, run the Bitcoin code, and you don't have to trust humans to not mess with your money, because it's something we say all the time on this show. If history has taught us anything, humans will always abuse that trust when it comes to money. This is a history lesson, guys. Like, this is why we Bitcoin. We no longer have to trust humans to control our money supply. It is mathematically based. Feature, not a bug.
Yeah, exactly. We've successfully figured out how to separate the monetary policy, and we figured out how to take that out of the hands of humans, right? And I think that a lot of people that believe, to put it nicely, not like Opti, to put it nicely, a lot of people fundamentally believe that they know how to run your life better than you know how to run your own life, right? And I think Bitcoin is a nightmare for them, right? Because it's going to be very difficult for them to co-opt. And, you know, it's very hard for people to come to terms with that fact, specifically if they've been living in a world where that hasn't been possible for decades now. And all of a sudden, Bitcoin just comes out of nowhere, thanks to Satoshi. And that completely changes the argument, you know? So very, very exciting times, but I suspect also going to be very tumultuous times as well. But we will stay on top of it because that's what we do here at
Hold Simply. On, Nico. Before we go, we got a super chat by TK. Let's go. $2 US, filthy fiat to throw at you, two like strippers.
Oh God, I kind of regret the super chat thing. We might have to change up that thing. Anyways, lots to talk about during the news. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. That's right. Not your keys, not your Bitcoin. Get yourself a hardware wallet, guys. Just don't leave your Bitcoin on an exchange, and don't leave your Bitcoin on a hot wallet, right? A hot wallet, for anyone that doesn't know, is any wallet that's connected to the internet. Anyways, you want cold storage. This is Barry Silbert, ladies and gentlemen. Barry Silbert has a net worth of $3.2 billion, and Barry Silbert is in trouble. Looks like it. We're going to dive into the Bloomberg article in a bit, but I want to give you guys a little bit of context. So first, Barry Silbert is a founder and CEO of Digital Currency Group, a conglomerate of five cryptocurrency-focused companies. DCG's biggest revenue generator, digital assets manager, Grayscale. I'm sure you guys have heard of Grayscale before. That is what GBTC is. Anyways, so what does Digital Currency Group own, right? It's a lot of familiar faces, I'm sure, to a lot of you guys. Foundry, you have CoinDesk as well. And of course, you just heard Grayscale Investments and Genesis Global Capital. Now, Genesis Global Capital is really interesting because that's what the Gemini Exchange, was using to provide their yield product to their customers, of which now no one can get their money out. There's about $900 million worth of customer funds that nobody has access to. And of course, the Winklevi are making a commotion about it on Twitter, but now it's escalated. Cameron Winklevi just tweeted this out earlier today. And let's check out some of the letter, but goes on to say he's accusing Barry Silbert of fraud. Like it's gotten to that point. Very interesting to see where this goes. And keep in mind, right, I just read it to you guys. Grayscale and Barry Silbert, they have $28 billion worth of Bitcoin under management, right? So if it affects them, it could potentially affect the Bitcoin price. But if you've been following our advice for a very long time, this doesn't affect you because it just means cheaper sats. Don't use margins. Don't outsource the personal responsibility of the storage of your wealth. Keep that Bitcoin, taking it to self-custody, baby. Anyways, I'm going to read some of the letter. Hopefully I can get through the whole thing. It says, an open letter to the board of Digital Currency Group. I am writing to let you know that Gemini and more than 340,000 earn users have been defrauded by Genesis Global Capital. That's a very, very strong statement. Together with its parent company, Digital Currency Group, its founder, CEO, Barry Silbert, and other key personnel, these parties considered to make false statements and misrepresentations to Gemini, earn users, other lenders, and the public at large about the solvency and financial health of Genesis. Okay, fine. That could be true. It could be true. But this wouldn't have happened to you if you've stop trusting other people with your money and started trusting yourself. None of this would have affected you, right? Not your keys, not your Bitcoin. Unfortunately, a lot of people were chasing yield, which is high time preference, right? You're chasing yield on an asset that had, and I'm not saying it's going to have this type of return in the future, but historically it had a 250% historical return since its inception. A lot of people are speculating moving forward, it's going to be between a 40-60%. No one knows for sure, right? I don't like to speculate on this channel, but the reason I'm saying it is to give a little bit of context. So you're chasing a 2-5% yield on something that has the potential of giving a lot higher return, right? You could say that's type of greedy. And is that really worth giving over your keys, right? Is that really worth it, right? That's a question for you guys. So here's what happened. We are learning more by the day, but at present, the basic events as we understand them are as follows. Genesis lent $2.36 billion of assets to Three Arrows Capital, a Singapore-based hedge fund that went belly up in June 2022. After collateral was liquidated, Genesis indicated that it was left with a loss of at least $1.2 billion. At this point, Barry Silbert had two legitimate options: restructure the Genesis loan book, inside or outside of bankruptcy court, or fill the $1.2 billion hole. He did neither. At that point in time, the Genesis loan book was approximately $8 billion, which means that the $1.2 billion loss from Three Arrows Capital would account for roughly 15% of the loan book's assets. A restructuring then could have addressed this shortfall to achieve a full recovery of assets for all lenders, including earn users, in a short amount of time and given them direct access to liquidity. But Barry chose not to do this. He also chose not to fill the $1.2 billion hole. Instead, he pretended to. That's fraud. That's really, really interesting. Now, the story keeps going, right? This was also announced. This was the title of the video. Right on January 6th, crypto empire DCG faces U.S. investigation over internal transfers, right? So it looks like this is getting real. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, he has a lot of Bitcoin, right? So this could potentially be, I'm not saying it will, we don't like to speculate, but think about it. The downside pressure is there. So crypto empires, DCG faces U.S. investigation over internal transfers. This is a Bloomberg article for audio listeners. U.S. authorities are digging into the internal financial dealings of Barry Silbert's expansive crypto empire, according to people familiar with the matter. Federal prosecutors in Brooklyn are scrutinizing transfers between Digital Currency Group and an embattled subsidiary that offers crypto lending services, said the people, who asked not to be named because the probe hasn't been made public. They're also delving into what investors were told about those transactions. Prosecutors requesting interviews and documents. One of the people said the SEC is also conducting an investigation. Another person said the probes are in early phases and neither Silbert, Digital Currency Group, nor any of its subsidiaries have been accused of wrongdoing. Well, no, they haven't been accused of wrongdoing, but Cameron Winklevite just accused them of wrongdoing. Silbert referred a request for comment to a DCG spokesman in a statement. The company said DCG has a strong culture of integrity and has always conducted its business lawfully. We have no knowledge of or reason to believe that there is any Eastern District of New York investigation into DCG. Genesis, a subsidiary whose unit offers lending services, said in a statement that it does not comment on specific legal or regulatory matters. Genesis maintains regulatory dialogue and cooperates with relevant regulators and authorities when it receives inquiries, it said. The SEC and U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York declined to comment. It's unclear specifically which intercompany activity is drawing scrutiny. I think that things are definitely developing. Like I said, public figures like this that have such a high profile, for them to make statements like this, it's not just like an anon on Twitter talking his mouth. Like, this is a very public figure, and when you say things like this, it has consequences. So a very strong statement. He is accusing him of fraud. Holy cow. So moving on the other front, this is David Bailey, CEO of Awesome Bitcoin Company, your friends over at Bitcoin Magazine, right? And it looks like he's starting this movement. He started this movement to get a large majority share of the GBTC. And it looks like he's starting to do that. And here's some tweets throughout the day, right? Throughout the last couple of days. It's time. He's calling for Barry Silbert to resign. He's retweeting Cameron Winklevi. Bravo. Now let's talk about DCG and Almeida and the billions they sold from FTX users. So what David Bailey is proposing is that apparently there was collusion between Barry Silbert and SBF of Almeida, right? This is crazy. This is absolutely nuts. And I was posting memes. This is simply Bitcoin, so we do have to cover the memes. Burnt toast. Absolutely hilarious. And it looks like their campaign has been somewhat successful. We've now heard from 2,000 investors representing 25% of the shares of GPTC. It's time for a change. Free the Bitcoin, right? So, dude... What an absolute disaster. This is crazy. This is like a novela, bro. It's like a novela, like keep going. You know, you had SBF with his penthouse in the Bahamas. Now you have, on the other hand, now you have Barry Silbert. You have Cameron Winklevi, you know. But I'll tell you this, guys, like the meme of, you know, like the guy like smoking the bowl behind those two people fighting. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. That guy is what Bitcoiners that have taken self-custody, that is your position right now. You're watching from the sidelines eating popcorn. You're like, this is entertainment. This is great. In fact, not only is it entertainment, this is good for you. Why is it good for you? Because you get cheaper sats. With all this infighting, this is an opportunity to stack very cheap Bitcoin. Remember, guys, the last time the Bitcoin price reached these levels back in 2017, right? The 2017 peak, it peaked out at 19K. All the things that have happened, whether that's public companies putting Bitcoin on their balance sheet, whether that's El Salvador, whether that's energy companies like ExxonMobil, like Shell, like ConocoPhillips, you have Gazprom, you have the largest energy company in Japan, all announcing that they're throwing their hand in the ring, they're getting involved in Bitcoin mining. None of that shit was true in 2017, but somehow the prices are exactly the same. So what does that tell you? That tells you, dude, this is your opportunity, and this opportunity was created because of the clusterfuck that all these shitcoin exchange people have created. But that's an opportunity for the pleb that didn't use margin and stayed humble, stacked sats, and took those sats into self-custody. This is your opportunity. They've created it for you. Embrace it. But if you got greedy, if you dabbled in shitcoins, you're absolutely wrecked right now. But hey, you know, hopefully some people got to pay their price of tuition, and sometimes that's the lesson that you have to learn. It is what it is. But yeah, man, it's this is crazy. This is absolutely nuts. I suspect that this is just the beginning of it. Keep in mind the first letter. The first letter went from, you guys aren't responding, you guys aren't answering me, right? And then Barry Silbert, like they had the little spat on Twitter. The second letter that Cameron Winklevoss just sent is, you guys committed fraud. You guys lied. And then connect the dots with the Bloomberg article, right? It can't be, but that's how investigations are. They can't let the public know what it is they're investigating, because that kind of gives them, that gives the suspect a heads up, right? So they have to kind of keep it under wraps. But according to that Bloomberg article, right, it looks like some authorities, at least in New York, the SEC and other law enforcement authorities, are looking into what is going on with DCG. So if you connect those two dots, man, you know, it's a lot of coincidences. Could it be that the party is still going? Is it just, are we just looking at, is it just SBF? Is it just FTX? Are they the only ones? They have a lot of Bitcoin, man. They have a lot of Bitcoin. DCG has a lot of Bitcoin. So maybe we see more fireworks. I don't know. Opti, what are your thoughts on all this, bro?
Well, I first, before I go into my thoughts, what exactly is like the David Bailey, like, I kind of saw some stuff they're talking about that. They did like a website. They're trying to claim.
Let me pull it
like
up.
Like full reserves of the GBTC or something.
Yeah. Let me pull it up. That's a great question. All right. So the Redeem GBTC campaign, where a group of GBTC shareholders interested in ensuring the trust is managed to maximize the value for all shareholders. Our goals: a credible path to redemption that minimizes impact on the Bitcoin market. 2, a reduction in management fees. 3, a change in management and a competitive bidding process for new trust sponsors.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, okay. To my points that I was going to make, just tack on to what you said at the very end. It looks like the dead bodies still haven't floated downriver. And oh man, here was me being hopeful that we are getting out of this bear market, and we shall see what happened. We shall see what kind of fireworks we see by the end of this 2021 to 2022 bear market. Like, man, what a crazy time. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, and obviously I will double down on this. Don't buy GBTC, guys. Like, don't participate in paper Bitcoin. This is why we tell you guys to take your Bitcoin into self-custody. Buy spot Bitcoin. Like, this is the way, guys. This is how you stop this madness and stop recreating the fiat system on my blockchain. Like, now I know that you can get GBTC through your 401ks and what have you, and it's a way to get exposure to Bitcoin if you still have some money in the legacy system. You know, there's obviously nuance in this, but I am just not a fan of paper Bitcoin. And, you know, GBTC seems to be a huge paper Bitcoin Ponzi. And, you know, this, if we learned anything in the last year, man, it's like, don't chase yield or you'll become the yield. And I understand, again, there's obviously nuance to all this, but man, it is not looking too good over there. And, just, I guess the average pleb perspective, maybe we're in for some more cheap sats, guys. So, you know, maybe this is the silver lining to this, and we will be able to scoop up some more cheap Bitcoin before we start to see this bull run continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And it presents an opportunity. It's an opportunity for everybody that, you know, focused on real work, right? You know, you fiat mine as much as possible, and then you DCA that into Bitcoin. Right. If you did that, none of this. You're watching on the sidelines. Right? You're literally watching on the sidelines. You're like, okay, this is cool. Right. So anyways, really interesting. Let's see how this ends up. Anyways, Opti, let's get to the culture. I'm really excited. We're going to talk about HAL today.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
Well, I'm ready for the culture, but I think we're missing something.
I am ready. Guys, check out BitBlock Boom. It's going to be one of the biggest Bitcoin conferences in the U.S. It's a true Bitcoin conference. Network with fellow Bitcoiners, Austin, Texas, August 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 2023. This is not a shitcoin NFT or blockchain event. At BitBlock Boom, we talk about Bitcoin, and more Bitcoin. Guys, you can take advantage of the promo code, all caps, simply Bitcoin, to get a big discount to your BitBlock Boom tickets.
Let's go. Okay, guys. So today, as you can see, is the 14th year anniversary since the legendary @HalFinn tweet on Twitter. Two words, just simply running Bitcoin. And you can see this was tweeted January 10th, 2009. An absolute legend in the Bitcoin space. The first Bitcoiner to basically the first actual Bitcoiner outside of Satoshi himself. And so I figured it would be just a good time to give tribute to, you know, one of the heroes in Bitcoin. I know, you know, slay your heroes or anything, but Hal Finn, by everyone's standard, is an absolute Bitcoin hero. And I thought it was very fitting that maybe I just read his own words for this little bit and you can understand his own story through his own words. So here we go. Bitcoin and Me from Hal Finney, March 19, 2013. And here we go. Here's the writing goes. I thought I'd write about the last 4 years, an eventful time for Bitcoin and me. For those who don't know me, I'm Hal Finn. I got my start in crypto working on an early version of PGP, working closely with Phil Zimmerman. When Phil decided to start PGP Corporation, I was one of the first hires. I would work on PGP until my retirement. At the same time, I got involved with the Cypherpunks. I ran the first cryptographically based anonymous remailer, among other activities. Fast forward to late 2008 and the announcement of Bitcoin, I noticed that the cryptographic graybeards, I was in my mid-50s, tend to get cynical. I've always loved crypto, the mystery and the paradox of it. And when Satoshi announced Bitcoin on the cryptography mailing list, he got a skeptic skeptical reception at best. Cryptographers have seen too many grand schemes by clueless noobs, and they tend to have a knee-jerk reaction. I had long been interested in cryptographic payment schemes, plus I was lucky enough to meet and extensively correspond with both Wei Dai and Nick Szabo, generally acknowledged to have created ideas that would be realized with Bitcoin. I had made an attempt to create my own proof-of-work-based currency called RPOW, or RPOW, so I found Bitcoin fascinating. When Satoshi announced the first release of the software, I grabbed it right away. I think I was the first person besides Satoshi to run Bitcoin. I mined block 70-something, and I was the recipient of the first Bitcoin transaction when Satoshi sent 10 coins to me as a test. I carried on an email conversation with Satoshi over the next few days, mostly reporting bugs and him fixing them. Today, true identity has become a mystery, but at the time, I thought I was dealing with a young man of Japanese ancestry who was very smart and sincere. I've had the good fortune to know many brilliant people over the course of my life, so I recognize the signs. After a few days, Bitcoin was running pretty stably, so I left it running. Those were the days when difficulty was one and you could find blocks with a CPU, not even a GPU. I mined several blocks over the next days, but I turned it off because it made my computer run hot and the fan noise bothered me. In retrospect, I wish I had kept it up longer, but on the other hand, I was extraordinarily lucky to be there at the beginning. It's one of those glass half full, half empty things. The next I heard of Bitcoin was late 2010 when I was surprised to find that it was not only still going, Bitcoin's actually had monetary value. I dusted off my old wallet, relieved to discover that my Bitcoins were still there. As the price climbed up to real money, I transferred the coins into an offline wallet where hopefully they'll be worth something to my heirs. Speaking of heirs, I got a surprise in 2009 when I was suddenly diagnosed with a fatal disease. And he kind of goes in his little the story about how he got Lou Gehrig's disease. And this is why, you know, rest in peace to Hal Finney. But ALS is a disease that kills motor neurons, which carries signals from the brain to the muscles. It causes first weakness, then gradually increases paralysis. It is usually fatal in 2 to 5 years. His symptoms were mild, but today he's essentially paralyzed while riding this, and I am fed through a tube and my breathing is assisted through another tube. I operate the computer using a commercial eye tracker system. It is also has speech synthesizer. So this is my voice now. I see my power wheelchair. I worked up an interface using an Arduino so that I can adjust my wheelchair's position using my eyes. It has been an adjustment, but my life is not too bad. I can still read, listen to music, and watch TV and movies. I recently discovered that I can even write code. It is slower, probably 50 times slower than I was before, but I still love programming and it gives me goals. And then he adds on at the very end. And of course, the price gyrations of Bitcoin are entertaining to me. I have skin in the game, but I came by my Bitcoins through luck with little credit to me. I lived through the crash of 2011, so I've seen it before. Easy come, easy go. That's my story. I'm pretty lucky overall. Even with ALS, my life is very satisfying, but my life expectancy is limited. Those discussions about inheriting your Bitcoins are of more than academic interest. My Bitcoins are stored in our safe deposit box, and my son and daughter are tech savvy. I think they're safe enough. I'm comfortable with my legacy. I'm getting the chills just reading about it, man. Yeah, shouts out to Hal. And I think there's some really cool little tidbits in there. If you like read between the lines, of course, you know, mining Bitcoin with your CPU. He's the get a Bitcoin transaction, 10 Bitcoins from Satoshi himself. And then, you know, the interesting tidbit of all of us Bitcoiners feel the same way. Even when you put your Bitcoin in cold storage, like there's a sense of relief when you go back to it and you know your coins are still there. You're like, okay, I did it correctly. My coins are still there. I didn't wreck myself. I think everyone has that same feeling where just you're glad that you secured your Bitcoin correctly. This is why we tell you guys to take Bitcoin into self-custody and make sure that you back up your seed phrase and you do test transactions because you do not want to get in that position. And then I think one of the tidbits, which is very funny considering we're in a bear market right now, is this part at the end. And of course, the price gyrations of Bitcoin are entertaining to me. I have skin in the game, but I came by my Bitcoins through luck with little credit to me. I lived through the crash of 2011, so I've seen it before. Easy come, easy go. Guys, I know you guys may be new to Bitcoin. You may be, this might be your second, you know, third bear market or what have you. But this is just part of the Bitcoin cycle. The Bitcoin number will go back up. This is just part of the halving cycle, the Hal Finn cycle. and you know, you see the price fluctuations, and you just double down, and you continue to stack, continue to get better in your Bitcoin self custody. And again, here's another little memoir on Nakamoto Institute, basically what I covered. But I just wanted to end with this meme by Seth Zero, running Bitcoin. Shouts out to Hal Finney. He loved to do marathons before Lou Gehrig disease completely paralyzed him. So I think on today, guys, it's just very fitting. You know, there are some Bitcoin legends out there, and Hal Finn is one of them. And this tweet, if I can make one point of contention, Musk, can you keep my like on this tweet? Why do I always have to relike this tweet every other couple of months? But anyways, the legendary at Hal Finn tweet of running Bitcoin, January 10th, 2009. January 10th is almost like a Bitcoin holiday at this point. Everyone, I hope you guys are running Bitcoin. Run the software. Take Bitcoin into self-custody. This is the revolution, and you too can pass down your Bitcoin to your heirs in the future. This is what we're doing. Rest in peace, Hal Finney. We appreciate everything you've done. Shouts out to his family. We appreciate you guys. Let's just keep doubling down on the legacy that is built Bitcoin and building on top of what Hal Finn accomplished in his time on planet Earth. Peace out, guys.
This is beautiful, man. Saint Opti. With, you know, shout out Al, you know, that disease is absolutely terrible, absolutely ravaging. But Al is a legend. That tweet will live on in eternity. And yeah, man, just, you know, thankful for what he contributed. But it's incredibly sad, dude. But you could tell that he was still in the fight, you know, even as limited as he was physically, he was still able to courage up, the motivation to write something like that in good spirits. He was thankful, he was humble, and that is absolutely inspiring. And you know, how rest in peace, man.
Wait, Nico, can we do this? TK says 21 seconds of silence for the first receiver of Bitcoin. It almost seems fitting. I know it's not that good of audio quality or YouTube show, but I don't know, I kind of like this idea. So 21 seconds of silence for Hal Finney.
Man,
I love it. I love it. That was
the least we could do for this absolute legend. Rest in peace. And yeah, man, holy crow. If only he could see, you know, how far
Bitcoin has come, man.
How far Bitcoin has come. And this is just the beginning. Everyone knows it's just the beginning. Lots of awesome, awesome things to come. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by KaboomRax. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is KaboomRax. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRax. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. KaboomRax.
KaboomRax. Have you heard of KaboomRax?
Have you heard of the best place to buy your Bitcoin miners?
Yeah,
your
ASICs? Like if you ever need a Bitcoin miner, you go to KaboomRax.
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 All right, guys, you already know this is the meme review. This is your favorite time of the show. You guys watch the whole 40 minutes of the first show just as filler so that you can get to the meme review. I know you guys tell me in the chat, but no, you guys already know our thoughts on memes, man. Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. We are the frontline soldiers in this information war. Continue to spread the signal. I really liked how Jedi said it on Monday. You know, we are truth tellers, and we tell the truth through art. I think that's a beautiful way of painting this message. So continue to ridicule the high-level parasites, the monetary demons. Continue to clown them. Continue to spread the truth so that the normies out there, the masses, can get the bite-sized signal, because everyone has ADHD and they can't, you know, read a long paragraph or anything. So you got to give them a truth. What's the old saying? A picture paints a words of 1,000 sentence, whatever. You already know. All right, so this first one, the first meme, shouts out to at memeing Bitcoin. And of course, I had to start this one off with a legendary Halfin tweet. And it goes, we got the little girl on the dad's lap. And he goes, where were you during the global financial crisis when Wall Street was bailed out using our money? And he's got Halfin's head on it. He says, running Bitcoin with the running Bitcoin tweet and the sun, legend, absolute legend. Couldn't have put it better in a tweet. You know, rest in peace, Hal. This next one, shouts out to 21JCLP. Goes, Bitcoin, 24/7, 365, the best money ever created, decentralized, uncensorable, immutable, unconfiscatable, designed to last forever, and available without restriction to anyone, anywhere, anytime. And we got this Chad, super yoke Bitcoiner with laser eyes in his hand, in his eyes, and he's got a Bitcoin, he's got a smartphone in his hand. He goes, Bitcoin, open 24/7, 365 for 8 billion people and can never close your account. And then we got a bank over here, and it goes, open 9 to 5 weekdays for 1 billion people and can close your account. And then we got the shit corner NPC crying, ah, toxic maximalist. All right, this next one, shouts out to my boy Rope. He goes, look at me, I'm the toxic one now. And we got a little comic over here, and he goes, me in my 30s, I've had enough of this toxic relationship. And he jumps off the flat earth clown world. Flat Earth clown world, and he falls on the flat earth Bitcoin orange world. Yes, I honestly didn't notice this with the flat earth meme wrote, but I like the Bitcoin meme nonetheless. Okay, this next one, shouts out to at bold Bitcoin. He goes, buying one Bitcoin in 2035, and you can see that Bitcoin is just going to be stacks of hundreds.
Stacks.
Obviously,
stacks
this is
on stacks, stacks on stacks on stacks.
Obviously, this is them printing more money, the creation of money right here in the $100 bills in its true form, a giant sheet of paper. Okay, this next one. Last year, you guys said we did a total of what, like 6 charts on the show. So obviously, I'm starting the year strong, and there's a chart here, but the chart is not necessarily the meme. Shouts out to our boy Base Money Tech at the Money Tech on Twitter, and he goes, green, green, red, green, 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 red, green, 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 red, green, 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 red, green. Keep it simple. Slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. And what he's talking about is the yearly candles over here of the Bitcoin price. It goes green, green, red, green, 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 red, green, 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 red. And this year, if history repeats, doesn't rhyme, this year should be a green year. Let's hope so. You know, please serve me for
me. We have absolutely no
idea. We have no clue. We're just speculating. We try not to speculate on the price, but man, please, sir. Please. All right, this next one is by at Coinbit app, and he goes, okay, we'll buy it. Who is this Zihan character, and why have we not memed him with this classic yet? And we got this girl on the path. He goes, monetary policy will stay the same with Bitcoin. And then we got the fiat maxis out here jumping through mental gymnastics, and he goes, inflation is natural. Supply chain issues weren't caused by lockdown. QE, see, we're in control of the rate hikes. Burr, yield curve control is good for inflation and UBI, and it's a burning fiat taxi, and the human is just in a car crash getting absolutely wrecked. And this last one by RDBTC. There was contention on Twitter whether this was a stolen meme or not, RD, but hey, we're going to give RD credit for this one. And we got Wall Street stocks, and we got the roulette table, and it goes, your retirement fund. And then we got Bitcoin, everything, infinity divided by 21 million, and it is my retirement fund. If you know, you know. Bitcoin is the way you store your value going into the future. All right, let's see. Okay, first thing I grab. Actually, before I give you my score, I forgot to say it. Drop your meme review score in the chat, and we will cover it live on the show. All right, so before I already gave you my translucent green jade wallet seed hardware signing device as a score, but today it's on my desk still. I'm going to give you the jade hardware wallet recovery sheet. No seed phrase on it. Obviously, I told you I was gonna do it this weekend. I was
you
busy.
You could have told everybody run something.
bacon.
Is that a seed word? Is that one of the?
It's kind of just like a meme. I think it's a meme.
Okay, so I'm gonna give it the back.
Back. Look, wow.
Not the front. The front. I've given the front before. I've never given the back.
Amazing.
Okay, guys, while you rate the meme score in the live chat, I want to tell you guys about our awesome clothing sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. They make some of the best merch in the business. Check this out. It's the camo hoodie. Opti's wearing the Simply Bitcoin merch. The Simply Bitcoin merch is a limited drop. There's only so many. You could take a look at the description, the video description down below. It's a link to the Simply Bitcoin merch. You could also go to the RepresentLTD.com store. You could search Simply Bitcoin. The black hoodies are already out, unless you're, you know what Opti said, a big boy. It's extra, extra, extra large. But
wait,
the
camo
hoodies,
you fit in the big ones, Nico?
I wish I ordered more. I wish I ordered more of the black ones. I only ordered like two or three. Absolute bummer. Anyways, guys, check it out. Limited drop, Simply Bitcoin merch. All right, Opti.
Wait. Before we get into the score, can I point out these trolling? If those are your thousands words, Opti, stick to the picture. Shouts out to you. And then also my boy Diogenes. Opti paints 1,000 pictures with a word salad. Oh, wait, one more. Shouts out to Oren. Can you promise to eat a body part if your prediction is wrong? No, I will not.
What is that? What type of...
If you know the meme, you know the meme. Okay, let's get into the meme review scores.
Opti's speaking.
I'm speaking to my friends out here, the audience, the demographic. Yes, my people.
The memers.
Okay, we got one.
Okay, the P-Man Ven. I give the memes a clusterfuck of shit coins brought to you by Barry Schilbert. Okay, savage. Elaine. Hey, Elaine, how are you? I give the memes fantastic memes, a statue of Hal Finney, and an official day to remember him. Oh,
let's go.
Absolutely beautiful. January 10th should be official Hal Finney Day.
Already a holiday? I think it feels like one already.
When Bitcoiners take over the world, today will be an official holiday.
No school days for your children.
Right? Hell yeah. Because they all have it's a day.
Well,
they'll
be homeschooled, so like you won't. Yeah.
Wow, we've been so brainwashed. Okay, Bitcoin Becca, I give the memes 1,000 sentences to describe the memes. Very, very nice. Brandon, I Bitcoin node over mesh network. Very nice.
Okay.
Next one. We got Alexander. I give the memes my Noster private key. Okay. Okay. What is it, bro? Post in the chat. Just kidding.
We got a blank. HODLcoin. I give those. Nice. Good score.
Yeah, that's a great one. Rope, I give the memes 1 day's growth of Opti's non-Mexican stash.
I am still, this is my second day of 5 o'clock shadow. So, you know, okay. Go fuck yourself, Rope.
Keep it going. Next one, Opti. What do we have? Brandon, it's a real seed and people put money into the Beacon wallet from time to time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That wasn't a score, Opti.
I apologize.
TK, give the memes the spicy red salsa from a tap shop.
Oh, let's go.
Next one by Paul. I give them a Topo Chico, the superior bottled water to whatever. Paul, you know what? I've had your Topo Chico, okay? It is very delicious. I do agree with you. But Topo Chico is sparkling water. This is flat water, okay? It's like apples and oranges, my friend.
Nico is a flat water maxi.
I give the
memes... Like a flat earth maxi he is.
Okay, Andrew Tate. I auto coin. I give the memes running Bitcoin. Right. Next one.
Oh, man.
Sparkling water is high time preference water. I get the Diogenes. I give the memes one free spin of Opti's roulette table.
Roulette? What? How is it? How do you say it? Roulette? How do you say it?
Roulette. Okay. Very, very nice. Okay, we're out of time. All right. Guys, also check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. It's absolutely free. It's a party in there. I think we're at 700 people. You got to go to www.t.me/SimplyBitcoinTV. Also check out Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. It's the written version of this show. We have awesome writers. You have Wartime, Bitcoin, Winekiss, Paul, Rustin.
Wartime Bitcoin, Zach. Darth Coin. They just dropped some heat.
Zach, also shout out Zach. So all these awesome Bitcoiners dropping some of the most awesome written Bitcoin content. So check it out. Anyways, Opti, software or pub site?
Site.
Bitcoin software release.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel, and there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
All right, guys, so today's website by Bitcoiners is Bitcoin.rocks. Again, Bitcoin.rocks. I was going to say a .com on there, but it's Bitcoin.rocks. I think just one of these cool websites, informative websites that we can send to people to try to explain why Bitcoin is cool, to try to explain why we are Bitcoiners, why we hodl. And this one's just one of these cool websites, Bitcoin Rocks. Bitcoin is a misunderstood technology that is already improving the world. And so this site has a bunch of links, a bunch of articles, links to different stuff, and a bunch of resources for people to learn about Bitcoin. So send this one to friends and family, Bitcoin.rocks, and get them on the orange pill standard.
Brother, what a rip. All right, guys.
Good one.
Yeah,
had fun today.
This is so, it went from Barry, then we talked about Sal, it made me sad, and then we ended it with the memes. It's very strong. Anyways,
emotional
guys,
roller coaster today.
It was an emotional roller coaster, straight up.
We got laughs, we got some lulls, we got some feels.
We got it. We had it all today. Anyways, guys, that was another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you enjoyed it, make sure to smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like this content provided you some value. And the number one thing you could do to push the peaceful revolution forward, not only help this channel, but help the whole movement, is share all Bitcoin content. Share this content, share all Bitcoin content. Get the signal out there. This is about the individual at the end of the day. This is about grassroots. So it's up to you, my friend, to orange peel the people around you, Uncle Jim, your family. If enough people take self-custody, that's how we win this thing. We will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. Love you all. Have an awesome day.